Our reading today is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Let's hear God's word. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O highly favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born with you will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age will also conceive a son. And she is in the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord, let it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And that's God's word. Let's pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you gave us a Saviour, Jesus Christ, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. We thank you, O Lord, for this, your precious word. We pray that you would speak to us through it by the power of that same Holy Spirit, that you would give birth to Christ in our hearts and form him in us through this meditation on your grace, wisdom, and power. We pray, O Lord, that we would love you more, follow you more closely, and obey you more consistently. In Jesus' name. Amen. As a Christian, you may have been asked, "Do you really believe that?" And a lot of the time, it's over the topic of the sermon today. You see, today we're looking at the third article of the Apostles' Creed, which says, "He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary." He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. And if you say you believe that today, people might look at you like you're strange. The British politeness, you might say. They won't laugh at you, but they'll look at you and say, do you really believe that? Or they may laugh at you and call you stupid. Because, of course, in this day and age, we would hear something like, "Come on, it's not natural. People don't get pregnant without having sex." Or they didn't back then. They can today, by the way. We can do that now. But 2,000 years ago, they didn't know about modern medicine. This evidently is a myth. So why do you still believe it? And the answer to that is, I actually agree with a lot of what they say. This is unnatural. This is impossible at that time. But we don't believe it was natural. We believe it was a miracle. A miracle is where God intervenes in the laws of nature to accomplish his purpose. It's not a natural thing. Supernatural. And another question is, if you took Jesus' DNA, what would it look like? And we'll explore these a bit as we go through. But what we're going to do, we're going to look at through this passage, answer the question why Jesus was born, was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin, and then apply that truth to our lives, because it does matter. It should make a difference to our lives. Why is it that Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary? Well, the first answer is if we start to read verse 31. The angel Gabriel says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be called great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We mentioned this last month. We said Jesus Christ was the Son of God forever and ever and ever. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were Father, Son, and Holy Spirit from everlasting to everlasting. But the person born in the womb of the Virgin Mary, his humanity started at a particular time, and in the truest sense, he was the Son of God. He is the Son of God in his divine nature and his human nature. And so, he needed to be conceived of that way. He needed to be conceived of that way. Because he is God's son. It's not healthy to speculate on the biology of how did God do it. We don't know. That's the answer to the question. If somebody had taken Jesus' DNA, because we all have our mum and our dad's DNA, what would it have looked like? That we don't know. We don't know. It's a miracle. I don't understand it. But he needed to be born because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was the Son of God. He was and is the Son of God. And this brings up a very, very important point about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has two natures. A divine or God nature and a human nature. Just like us. He has a divine nature. So he was the Son, as I've said, he was the Son of God forever and ever and ever in his divine nature. And the second person of the Trinity became a human being at this point. At this point in history. This is history. This is something that happened in time. And that human nature is just like ours. He's just as much his mother's son as we are our mother's child. His nature is human. In his human nature, he had a mortal spirit, a mortal soul, a mortal mind. He had a divine mind, a divine spirit, all that. And about everything that human beings have, he had. All the limits, apart from sin, which we'll mention a bit more in a few minutes. Everything that we had, he had human limitations. In his human nature, he was located in one space. As God, he's everywhere and always was. Even during his humanity, he was everywhere. As God, he was all-powerful and is all-powerful and always will be all-powerful. As God, he's all-knowing, is all-knowing and will be all-knowing. But in his human nature, he was in one place, he got tired, and he didn't know everything in his human nature. He said that, I don't know when the second coming is, in his human nature. That this is vitally important, because we must keep that truth before us whenever we read the gospel. Sometimes the New Testament talks about him. If you just read that, you'd think, oh, he was only a human being. Sometimes the New Testament talks about him, oh, well, he was God. We have to balance those two truths together. We have to embrace them, we have to believe them, and we have to love them. Because that's who Jesus is. He is one person with two natures, united forever. And that's why he was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. But why? Why did he need two natures? Why did he need two natures? Well, humanity has sinned against God. It's what we looked at when we said, looked at the first article. He was when we looked at, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. God created us in his image, entered into a covenant with humanity, as represented by Adam and Eve, and made us his people and caused us to have fellowship with him. And then humanity threw it back through sin. And then in that fall, everybody fell. Because they were the heads of the human race. Now, In that, humanity still owes God two debts. We owe God perfect obedience and payment for our sin. It's what we're going to remember when we do the Lord's Supper in a few minutes. Christ is the perfect man who passed the test where Adam failed. Adam was called the Son of God. Because like Jesus, he was created. God breathed on him and made him a living soul. It was a direct act of God that created him. And so Christ is the true Son of God who lived an obedient life and who paid the price for our sin. But to pay the price for our sin, he must also have been God. Because only God is big enough to take the wrath of God for sin. Only God is strong enough to bear that penalty. Only God's suffering is worthy enough to pay the price for sin. If we pay the price for our sin, it will go on forever and ever and ever and ever in hell. But because he's God, his suffering is worthy to pay the price. And so the Lord Jesus Christ has two natures, God and man, because he's big enough to bear it. And ultimately, another reason why he has to be God and man, a display of God's grace, kindness, mercy, and tenderness. It's not just a really, really good and holy person who's dying on the cross for our sins. It's God in the flesh. It's God in the flesh. God, who is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. God who exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The second person comes down, carries on being God, but assumes human nature and dies for our sins. So the Christian hope isn't that God might let us off if we're good enough. The Christian hope isn't that God, we're trying to please him enough. No, the Christian hope is a sure and steadfast hope that Jesus is the one who paid the price. Jesus is the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And ultimately, the reason he has to be God is because only God can save. There is only one Saviour. That's God. Besides him, there is no God, and besides him, there is no Saviour. So that's why he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, to make sure he has two natures. Two natures. One divine, one human, united in one person forever. The second reason why is in verse 35. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." This is the only time in the Bible someone is said to be conceived by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit overshadows Mary, and she becomes pregnant. John the Baptist is said to be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. But Jesus is said to be conceived. That's unique. And so in a very unique sense, sorry, you can't be very, there's not levels of unique. So in a unique sense, Jesus Christ is truly holy. Holy means set apart for God. It's like the first time it's ever used in the Bible is of the Sabbath. In Genesis 2, God blesses the seventh day and makes it holy. That day, up until the first Easter weekend, is God's day. And it's set apart for him. And so Christ, the God-man, the one who is truly God and truly human, is set apart for God, truly and completely. Some Christians down the ages have, we've talked about it, or we've mentioned it just now, original sin, when Adam, representing humanity, fell, all of us fell and we became infected with a sin nature, sinful nature, the flesh it's called in the Bible. And some Christian writers said he was conceived by the Holy Spirit to, so he wouldn't be born in sin. I haven't read enough of that to come to a definite conclusion. I can see why they'd say that, but I don't know entirely. I'm just throwing that out there. But the Virgin, the Lord Jesus is holy and set apart. In saying that, by the way, they're not saying sex was sinful. That's not what they were saying. It's not. It's beautiful and it's good and it's a gift from God to be enjoyed. But they were saying it as a way to protect Christ from original sin, the virgin birth. But it, whatever it means, I do agree with them. I don't think I agree entirely, but what the scripture says is that it was to preserve and to keep Christ holy throughout his human life, that he was not born in sin the way all of us are. Psalm 51 verse 5 says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Well, Christ was not conceived in sin. Christ, from the very moment of his existence, is pure, holy, and set apart, and glorious. And indeed, the Holy Spirit was Christ's constant companion in his life on earth. He was anointed with the oil of gladness beyond his companions. As we said last month, he's anointed, he has the Holy Spirit, he's our prophet, priest, and king, and his years of life before his public ministry were preparation for the life, for the 3 years of ministry that he had. Think on that. Christ had 30 years of preparing. He was anonymous, nobody knew who he was. He was poor. He was away from everybody. He was a northerner in Israel. And he lived, and that was to prepare him for the few years of his ministry that impacted the world forever. The Lord Jesus Christ. But he did, he is holy. He is without sin. He is altogether lovely and altogether worthy. Why is that important? Because the symbolism of the Bible is whenever there was a sacrifice for sin, it had to be without blemish, without spot, completely perfect and pure. And so God, to have a sacrifice for sin, it must be from a pure and holy human being. And the Lord Jesus is that. He is preserved from sin. He never committed sin. And he didn't just not commit sin. He pursued holiness and love perfectly every moment of his life. He is altogether lovely, altogether worthy, and altogether wonderful. He is the spotless lamb. That's why we call him the Lamb of God. Lambs were sacrifices and they had to be spotless lambs. Well, that's why we call Jesus the Lamb of God. He is pure. He is holy. He's set apart. He does what he did out of an act of pure love. Love for God and love for his neighbor. He wanted you. He wants you to have eternal life. And he went through all that to show you and to purchase it for you. That's how much he loves you. There's no sibling rivalry with Jesus, because he loved his neighbor as he loved himself. Now, that's why we needed the Savior to be conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Some problems now. Let's just look at some objections that are very, very good and very, very meaningful. And we need to think about them. As I've said, come on, you don't really believe this, do you? You don't. I mean, it's not natural. It's myth. It's mumbo jumbo. Come on. It's 2022. Well, one verse can be said in response to this. Verse 37, nothing will be impossible with God. It is interesting that we can now, In this day and age, modern medicine can make virgins pregnant. We can do that now, and we don't think anything of it. What do you think God can do? A God who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his power. Another question, as I've alluded to, Nikki Campbell always asked it on the big questions. If Jesus had a DNA sample taken, what would it look like? Would it, be a man and his wife? We all have a male and a female DNA. We can trace our lineage. What would Jesus's be? And the answer is, I don't know. It's okay to say that. It's a miracle. We don't know. And here's the thing, I'm not going to start speculating on what God did. God could have just, I don't know how God did do this. He could have just spoke sperm into existence that fertilized the egg. I don't know. He could have just put a strand of DNA in or something like that. I don't know. And I'm not going to speculate. But God is of infinite power. And look at what we've looked at before we've got to this point. In the Apostles' Creed, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. So God, who created a universe from creator of heaven and earth, who created a universe from nothing, just speaking, who is all powerful, who creates galaxies just with the voice. The second article, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. I believe that God became a man. J.I. Packer, in his chapter on knowing God, in his chapter on the God-man in Knowing God, says this. Why do I, he says, he admits it's hard to believe the gospel sometimes. We believe in the virgin birth and that Jesus rose again bodily and he'll never die. That both of them naturally are ridiculous. But they're miracles, and we believe in these things because of who Christ is. We believe he is God and man. We believe that he is the Son of the Most High. We believe that he is, Emmanuel, God with us. And he's with us now by the Holy Spirit. That's why we believe these things. But when, can I just say, when people come to you, Christians or non-Christians, don't dismiss them. There are lots of, one of the reasons why people think this is a myth, there are lots of leaders of religions and of nations that have strange birth stories. The founder of North Korea, his people believe he came down. I think I'm right in remembering, and angels brought him down miraculously. And when I heard that, I thought, oh gosh, isn't that ridiculous? Who can believe that? And then I thought, well, I believe in the virgin birth. But I believe in it because of who Jesus is. Don't look down on people. Because you can't complain when people look down on you as a Christian and then look down on everybody. We shouldn't look down. Explain, defend, and love. That's how. So what difference should this make to us? Well, Jesus Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit prepared him for ministry. He grew in wisdom. He was full of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's character, the fruit of the Spirit, was seen in his life. He was the perfect model, the perfect example, and the perfect Saviour. So, my dear friend, you too need to be born of the Spirit. God needs to give you a new heart. You need to be born again by the Holy Spirit of God, which is we die to the old self and live to Christ. And we do it. It's a work of God breathing in us his spirit, and we're born again. The evidence that we're born again is that we come to faith in Jesus Christ. We come to faith in Jesus Christ. So we would invite you today to receive this Saviour, to receive Jesus, to love him, to depend on him, to delight in him, to obey him, to get to know him, to receive him and all that he's done for you. This is what God did for you. This is what God does for you. Because the Christian life, again, Christ's life is a perfect example for ours. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit, so we must be born of the Spirit. He grew in wisdom. And so the Christian life is growing in wisdom and holiness. Bearing the fruits of the Spirit, conforming to the character of Jesus. That's what the Christian life is about. That's what the Holy Spirit does in us. That's what he does. That's his work. That's the main work of the Holy Spirit. Leonard Ravenhill said it like this. The biggest miracle God does is take an unholy person out of an unholy world, make them holy, put them back in an unholy world and keep them holy. That's what Jesus. We do it through union with Christ. We do it through union with Christ. So get to know Jesus. Delight in him. And pray for the Holy Spirit. Pray for more of the Holy Spirit to make you holy, to make you humble, to make you loving, joyful, peaceable, kind, and all the other fruit of the Spirit. Because that's why Christ came, to make us into the image of himself, to be conformed to him, and at the last to be glorified with him. When the Holy Spirit will, you know, God through the Spirit will make us perfectly holy like him now, and we'll be with him forever, glorifying God. So will you come to Christ? And if you have, will you keep going on with him, getting to know him, to love him, and to serve him? If you need help with any of this, come and talk to us. And one help that the Lord has given us is the Lord's Supper, which we're going to do now. The Lord bless you.